reward you people. It is the Starship Rogue Con Show with Anna DeVlantis up for another day of broadcast insolence. Susan Schmidt is sitting in for Anna today, who is attending to some personal business. And as you know, Susan Schmidt, as Susie Sunshine on this program, who does all the financial analysis assists for us on days when, well, when otherwise we would be trying to enjoy some sunshine. And the reality is that it's sometimes cloudy.
It's a volatile market. It happens up and down.
Yes, so. That's right. And we'll get to a little bit of that later on. I guess when the business reports come on, you can scream over Judy, "No, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. What do you know?" But we got so many other things we need to get to today, including, but not limited to, what's happening here. We like to, at the beginning of the show, at least now until, you know, the 15th, 2 weeks from tomorrow, we'd like to at least keep people up to date in terms of what's happening here locally and nationally in terms of the election, because it's heating. I've never seen anything like this. The turnout, Rick Pearson from the Chicago Tribune is here, and the turnout, Rick, has been incredible in the states in which there has already been voting. The registrations for the Super Tuesday, where, you know, tens of millions of people are registered to vote tomorrow in Super Tuesday throughout the South and some other places too, Alaska, right? It's got a caucus and places like that. But you know, primarily southern states, or the SEC, as they call it on Fox for some reason. I don't understand that.
Maybe I've been calling it that, too. I mean, it's, you know, the way it kind of was structured up. It's definitely, you know, the southern leaning states. But now you've got Vermont, you've got Minnesota, Massachusetts. But it's still, I like, instead of Super Tuesday, SEC kind of gives it, you kind of understand.
More of a sports flair.
Well, yeah,
to it.
Sure, exactly.
And a geographic
nature. That might be why turnout might be, you know, registrations are up. People think they're going to a basketball
game. Yeah, no, I don't think so. They know they're going to a boxing match is what they think they're going to. All right, so, and Trump now, according to the polls over the weekend, Trump is leading in every state save Texas, where some polls have him in a dead heat with the native son, Ted Cruz.
I think that's absolutely the place to focus on the Republican side is Texas, because let's face it, if Ted Cruz doesn't win his home state, you're likely to hear that maybe the end of that campaign. And you remember how this originally stacked up, and part of this, the SEC primary, was that you figured, you know, Cruz would be looking forward to these states. They kind of set up naturally for him from the South. Mm-hmm. And Texas being, I mean, that's the big prize tomorrow. It's 155 Republican delegates. So
proportional, though.
Well, yes, that is. It is.
And let's explain that. It's the difference here. The important thing here, obviously, you need delegates, right? And you need to get to 1,237.
About 1,300.
About 1,273. So you need to get to almost 1,300 delegates to win the nomination on the first ballot, in theory, at the Republican convention. And each state, you get delegates based on whether you win the state or how you do in the state in a proportional state.
Or how you do in a congressional district.
Right. In a state where there's proportional distribution of these delegates. Okay. So up until now, basically, these have all been proportional states. There's mostly proportional states in Super Tuesday. But then after we're done with Illinois, everything is winner take all.
Actually,
right?
When Illinois with March 15th starts the end of that proportionality rule, separate from Illinois, you've got Ohio that day. You've got Florida that day. Those are winner take all states.
And that that day really does tell the story.
Sure.
Doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, the early polling in Florida showing that Marco Rubio trailing Trump there. So
significantly,
you've got that. You've got Ohio. You've got Republican Governor John Kasich. That's his home state. So, you know, how well does he do in Ohio? Then you also have Illinois on March 15th. And Illinois, of course, has to do everything differently. So you vote for a preference for president. And the winner of that will get 15 pledged delegates. But then in each of the state's 18 congressional districts, you vote separately for three delegates affiliated to the candidate. And so those 54 delegates out of the congressional districts are direct elected. So that's what makes it a bit more complicated. It's a kind of a hybrid system to pick a winner.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's Illinois.
And it's also make
we
work.
We like to be different.
Oh, yeah. Don't even get me started on the Democratic rules for delegates. We don't have time for that.
Right, because they're not necessarily we have like a version of a superdelegate, right?
It's 177 pages.
178.
Is the delegate selection process in Illinois.
Mary Pat O'Finnegan, Mary Pat O'Flannery, Mary Pat, no?
No, 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 no. You got to remember, it's the Democrats, so there is a proportionality rule.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to win at least 15% support in each of the state's congressional districts. Then there's also delegates that you vote for, but they have to be basically, your vote counts, but it's advanced so that, let's say, Hillary Clinton would win 7 delegates in a congressional district. It would have to be boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl.
Oh, okay. All right. Stop right there. You lost me.
Oh, boy.
That's on page 176.
Where you lost me, but you lost me on that.
Hey, this is why I do it, so you don't have to.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. All right. So what, now, this Trump fellow, he has had an interesting weekend. He had, and he's, by the way, he's leading Illinois at the moment. That shocks me. That shocks me. And here's the problem. That SIU poll, which is now 2 weeks old, but it's the most recent and comprehensive of the polls, shows that he has 28% that is consistent downstate, Collar Counties and Cook County, and City of Chicago.
Right.
And, what the hell's going on here, Rick Pearson?
And Dave Yepsen, who's the director of the Paul Simon Institute that does these surveys down there, a very good friend of mine. One cautionary note, though, is that the Republican sample statewide was somewhere about 330 people. So there's traditionally a pretty high margin of error there. So
you want something like 500 to 700, right?
600 to 700 gets you below 5 percentage point margin of error. So just something to keep in mind. But I mean, I can certainly understand support for Trump among Republicans downstate. I kind of get that. But in the collars, that's, obviously that's where we always look at Republican statewide contests, is to see where and how he's doing.
Suburban Cook.
Yes, Suburban Cook, DuPage,
Lake.
The collars, yes.
Yeah.
And that's really going to tell the tale about any kind of Trump support here in Illinois.
Well, I mean, and I know this is going to sound snotty, and I don't mean it to.
From you?
What a shock.
I know. I don't mean it to sound snotty, but I'm going to say it anyway. Trump loves the poorly educated, and I get why people.
Well,
who,
he says that.
He says that. He loves them, and they love him. when he goes in and he said, I did well with the poorly educated, it's like, yeah, no. And I get what the appeal is. There is an appeal to people who want to just change things. They're not really thinking too much about the what if or the how or the what now, that I think that people who, spend more time thinking about these things or have jobs in which they have to think about all those questions. And I think that's what and so I get the anger there. But when I hear people who are, have more significant careers, jobs that do have to think about the what if, what now, what do we do then, that still support him, that shocks me.
It does me as well. I think part of it is just kind of a feeling of wanting to turn back the clock a little bit, almost like a 1950s America.
Well, and just have something different, right? I think the sound bites from Trump are very interesting. And how many people really stop and think through these things? I think one of my irritations with elections is our attention span gets shorter and shorter. So
yeah,
it's still early and surface level.
Yeah, but each state, I mean, right now, I mean, okay, you've had these smaller hothouse states that take their roles in this very, very seriously have voted. But, now I think to your point, Susan, this is where it really starts. You do get sort of the marginally involved. Like, well, I see that Trump on the news all the time.
Well, yeah, you should start tuning in. But I'm not sure people are yet.
Oh, I think so. I mean,
I worry that some of them aren't.
I think because now, and you're seeing this, frankly, some of the concerns of the Republican establishment about Trump being the presumptive nominee, you're starting to see some elements of the Republican establishment actually reaching out and embracing Trump.
If he rolls through tomorrow, if he wins, Rick Pearson, political writer.
Not forecaster.
Yeah, I know. But and you hate when I ask you the forward-looking questions. He's just like all those things, those prospectus you have to read for your job. We refuse to answer any forward-looking questions.
Right, you do it a real quick statement.
Right, yes. But let me ask you this very quickly. If he rolls through tomorrow and he wins everything tomorrow, including Texas, can Donald Trump be stopped?
It would be very, very difficult.
All right.
Extremely difficult. The best case scenario is that the race becomes a man on man race.
So Rubio's,
because that's what's Trump's support, and he's racking up delegates, even though it is proportionality. But on a one-on-one race, that changes the dynamics so much.
Okay. All right.
Well, Rubio had a lot of language over the weekend insisting that Trump would not get it, and even if he did, he would continue. Rubio would be in there. So it's interesting.
Rubio's going to run for president as a third party. I mean, apparently. I think the Republicans might do that. Republicans may run somebody that would not pair off from Hillary. I honestly believe, I don't doubt for a second that those sort of old line Republican fathers of the party.
The establishment.
Yes. But they hate to be called that.
I know that.
But they're Karl Roves and all those will work to make sure Hillary gets elected. Because they need somebody they need four more years of a Democrat around which to recoalesce. Because they can't do it this way. And they'll lose it to Trump. Right.
Well, this is not the party restart that people like Rove wanted to say. But you have seen Christine Todd Whitman kind of in reaction to Chris Christie endorsing Trump. Christine Todd Whitman says if Trump is the Republican nominee, the former governor of New Jersey, she says she's going to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Right. And she also said that it was... That Trump, Meg Whitman, who is the finance chair for the Republican National Committee, said of Christie, it's the most politically opportunistic move she's ever seen, or something to that effect.
Which is hard for somebody to say in any political party.
Right. Yes. Exactly. Yes. All right. Thank you very much. Rick Pearson,
thank
Chicago
you.
Tribune.